This episode is brought to you in part by the American Homebrewers Association, who invites you to give the gift of membership this holiday season. Purchase a membership gift card with promo code GIFTIPA, that's G-I-F-T-I-P-A, all one word, and receive a free copy of Dick Cantwell's book, Brewing Eclectic IPA, Pushing the Boundaries of India Pale Ale. Visit homebrewersassociation.org today for details. That's homebrewersassociation.org. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, November 21st, 2019. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Steve and I taste hop sampler number 14, Lemon Drop, Bravo, and Columbus. And we accidentally test the effects oxidation has on a beer post-fermentation in the fermenter. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows. And if you go to basicbrewingshop.com, you can find our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and other Basic Brewing gear. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook as well. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing, and thanks to everybody who's helping out in that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. Financial supporters have already seen the episode I'm going to release to the public on Friday. That's the one with my big Belgian dark strong ale with a special food-related surprise for Steve. Coming up next in the video lineup is a show on the cider I made from unfiltered apple juice, and then I spiked half of it with cinnamon whiskey. That's a very simple and tasty one. Hey, don't forget to send in your Brewing Disaster Show entries for this year's Disaster Show. Steve and I are planning to get together on December 9th to record that show, so get them in before then. So you got a little time, but don't delay, because if you're like me, you'll forget or you'll wait to the last minute, and, you know, that's no good. And we're off next week for Thanksgiving, so I'll only have one more show to remind you. So get your Disaster Show stories in. I've asked Casey at Imperial and Desiree at High Gravity to contribute something fun for the goodie boxes that we send out to contributors in the show. You know, we don't send out big prizes, but it's always fun to get something fun. It's fun. In the past, we've been able to send out stuff to everybody who participates, but no promises this year. We'll just have to see how many entries that we get. Just, you know, make your stories extra good, so that you'll get something. And length doesn't always make for a good story. So, you know, think pithy. Remember, you know, we usually have like 20 some odd stories to read. So that's a lot. So short and sweet and funny and disastrous with a good ending. I don't know. another thing that you're short on time for is the seasonal release from our friends at Imperial Organic Yeast. It's A40 Bubbles. There are a couple of reasons to be excited about Bubbles. First, it makes a very tasty cider or fruit wine. I can tell you from my experience with my cider that it works. It gets out of the way of the fruit flavor and it seems to heighten it, in my opinion. It's also gluten-free. It's Imperial's first step into the gluten-free arena. A40 Bubbles is a beautiful strain for fruit juice fermentations. The clean profile of the yeast, especially used at the lower end of the temperature range, which is handy for this time of year in the northern hemisphere here. Bubbles allows the nuances of the fruit to be prominent in the finished beverage. A40 Bubbles is a seasonal available through the end of the month, so get with your local homebrew shop soon. You know we love Imperial. They've got the highest cell count of any liquid yeast producer, 200 billion cells in those handy, easy-to-open packages. My stir plate is dusty because I hardly use it anymore. Imperial has top-notch customer support with an industry-leading QC program. Check out A40 Bubbles and all of the awesome offerings from our friends at Imperial Organic Yeast. Let's go into the mailbag for a letter about an episode that we ran a few weeks back where I talked to Aaron Mayer of Pine Bluffs Distilling up in Wyoming. Chris in Concord, California writes, "Great episode with Aaron from Pine Bluffs Distilling. A few quick questions that were not very clear to me. After they mash the grain, when they transfer to the fermenter, does all the grain go into the fermenter? If so, how do they do that transfer? Are there any differences in disposing of the grain compared to beer brewing?" Glad you liked the show, Chris. I sent Chris's note to Aaron, who replied, "Our mash is a full volume mash, so it's thinner than a typical mash. We don't louder, so we transfer all the mash to the fermenter. We mill our grain more fine than you do for beer brewing. It's almost a powder. This increases efficiency and makes our job easier. We do use a different pump built for this called a positive displacement pump. Most brewers use a centrifugal pump. Aaron says we give the mash to farmers in town and they feed it to cows. It's a little harder to get them to take it because it's so thin, so we just bought a liquid solid separator to help." Well, there you go. I appreciate Aaron's answer. Distilling, you know, it's a similar but different world. You know, it's that extra level. It'll be fun to see where distilling goes in the next few years. We've got a new distillery opening in Northwest Arkansas that would be fun to check out, too. Fun news from our friends and sponsors, Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa. They're having a sale on money. Well, a sale on gift certificates, which is basically money, on highgravitybrew.com. For a limited time, you can get a High Gravity gift certificate for 10% off. If you go to highgravitybrew.com, you can see that they have several gift certificate denominations from $5 all the way up to $1,000. So if you've been wanting to get into electric brewing with a Warthog system, let's say, if you don't want to wait for somebody else to give you a gift certificate, you can buy one for yourself and save 10%. Now, the discount will be applied at checkout. So just add a gift certificate of your preferred denomination to your cart, and you'll see the 10% savings when you go to checkout. Now, this is only for a limited time. Check out highgravitybrew.com for details. You can not only use these for electric gear, but for everything else on the site. Beer kits, ingredients, all the works. Take the pain out of propane. Now for 10% off gift certificates at family-owned and operated highgravitybrew.com. Okay, this week's hop sampler has a bit of a twist, as we talk about in the conversation, Steve and I screwed up, and I let one of the small batches get a bit oxidized in the fermenter. Will it make a difference? Well, let's see. Well, Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James.
This is hop sampler number 14, I think, if my calculations are correct. And this we have Lemon Drop, Bravo, and Columbus. And if you're new to the hop sampler, what we do is, this is a blind tasting between these three beers. What I do is I take 3 quarts or 3 liters of water and I heat it up to about 140 degrees. And then into that I put 1 pound or 450 grams of Pilsen Light Dry Malt Extract and mix that up. And then I bring that up just to the boil. And then I shut off the heat, add the prescribed amount of hops and set it aside on the stove away from the heated burner for 30 minutes. Then I cool it and pitch 3 grams of USO5, Safale USO5 in each, and then ferment out. And then I bottle in 12-ounce bottles, and I add a carbonation drop to each bottle. And then when it comes time to taste, we put masking tape over each of these, the tops of each of these, and write numbers on them randomly, and we taste them randomly, and then we read descriptors of the hops randomly, and then we try to figure out what's what. Does that about cover it?
I think that nails it down pretty solidly.
I should just pre-record that part.
Yeah, that's right.
Or just, you know, have a third party, random announcer record that part. The rules for today's competition are, you know. So, Lemon Drop, Bravo, and Columbus. I'm kind of surprised we haven't done Lemon Drop already.
Me too.
We've used Lemon Drop, and we've liked Lemon Drop, but it's kind of one of those that you would think that you would want to taste by itself, fairly quickly. But I guess there's so many darned hops.
Oh, I know. And yeah, there's a lot of hops.
Does it make it kind of, you as a homebrew shop owner of stevesbrewshop.com, do people come in and are they kind of, do they have kind of, what do they call it when you like when you walk into Best Buy and you see the whole wall of TV sets, there's a paralysis that happens when you have too much choice.
Actually, yeah, there is some of that. And so you kind of have to have all the Lemon Drops and Glaciers and Galaxies popular, but actually what happens is everybody sees all the great selection and then they buy Columbus, or I should say Cascade and, yeah, and Hollatower and Fuggles.
EKG.
Yeah. So there's a reason why Noble Hops and I'll just say cliched hops, there's a reason why hops are what they are and you use them. So there are a lot of great hops out there, but there's a reason why we use the same ones over and over again, because they just work.
Yeah.
So
you get familiar with them, and you use what you're familiar with.
Yeah, for sure.
So we got three beers in front of us, and I have to tell you that there was a variance in the experiment this time, because I had the beers on the floor in the guest bedroom and or guest bathroom, and I was moving things around and I broke one of the airlocks off the top of the first time I've ever done that. Broke one of the airlocks off the top, and I said, I'll just put a piece of foil over it, it'll be okay. So I put a piece of foil, I thought tightly over the stob sticking out of the top of the fermenter. And a couple days later, when I went to bottle, one of the jugs, the one with the broken-off airlock, looked maybe half a shade darker than the others. So I was like, "Oh no, did I oxidize one of the beers?" And so, does one of these beers look a little darker than the other two?
Well, when you mentioned that earlier, I said yes, that the number three looked a little darker. But I don't really know. It's so close, and I was looking at it with a brown bottle directly behind it. Mm. So I'm not really sure. If it is, it's so close. I'm going to still say, yeah, I think number three is a little bit darker. I can't tell any that it doesn't taste oxidized, though. So
no.
I don't think there's much difference.
No, so I have to say that I do know it does look a half a shade darker. Not sure that that's the one. But I do know which.
You know which hop.
I know which hop.
Okay.
Was the darker one. So I may or may not have an advantage with this one. So I might just let you guess and then I'll guess afterwards just to make things fair, so I'm not influencing you. So what we do is we taste the first of the beers, and then we read a descriptor, and we taste the second of the beers, and so on. So, number one, that's really good. It's nice and clean, mm-hmm, and fresh, and I would say lightly citrusy.
Me too, and it's a little bit spicy. It's a very pleasant taste. It doesn't have any kind of, it doesn't taste dank or, I don't know, stale. Sometimes some hops will have kind of a stale, dank taste to them, and this doesn't at all. It's actually quite nice.
I forgot to say that I put a full 1 ounce of Lemon Drop in the batch at 28 grams, because it's at 5.2% alpha acid, 10 grams of Bravo at 15% alpha acid, and 8.5 grams of Columbus at 17.3% alpha acid. So quite a range there, from 5.2 to 15% to 17.3. But each one of them, I think, and we say this every time, I can't pick out one of them that's remarkably bitter than the other, more bitter than the other two.
No, I can't either. They all have relatively the same bitterness to my palate, and I'm really surprised at how close together these three taste to me, although they do taste differently, but very common. They have a lot of commonality in their flavor profiles, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was hoping that with Lemon Drop, it would be so lemony that it would be like the one that stuck out. But I think all three of these have a lemon character to it.
I agree completely. And there's no hint of pine in any of these. They don't go to that kind of Chinook, Cascade, Centennial flavor. They're not piney or... well, they do have a little mint, maybe. So they're herbal, but they're not pine or fir or, you know, whatever. Balsam, yeah. I don't know. Juniper, any of that.
Larch. The larch.
Ba-da-da-da.
No, that's the larch. That's the lurch.
Oh, larch, sorry.
I was making a Monty Python reference. You went straight to Adam's Family. But number one, I enjoy quite a bit, and it is a light citrus flavor. Lemony. I would just say lemony.
Yeah. Well, then let's read the number one descriptor, which happens to be Lemon Drop. Now, we're not implying that this is Lemon Drop.
Right.
It's just that Lemon Drop is number one on the hit parade in the descriptors. So, Lemon Drop offers a unique lemon citrus character with a pleasant aroma. That's all in quotes. The bright citrus and subtle herbaceous notes are perfect for sessionable beers, while ales tend to bring out her sweeter side.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh la la. Lemon Drop is delicate and refined enough for quality lagers.
Hmm.
So.
That sounds delicious.
Well, yes, it does.
Do you sell much Lemon Drop?
Yeah, I do. I actually sell quite a bit of it.
I think the name might have something to do with it. Don't you?
Because I definitely do.
I mean, because if you have a hop that's called Zeus or Columbus, you know, it's like, what's that?
Or, what's that about?
You know, Tomahawk or Warrior sounds like it'd be a good bittering hop just because it sounds so strong and intimidating.
Yeah, I sell that to ex-Marines.
But you can never be an ex-Marine.
Oh, that's true. You're right. Sorry about that. Thank you.
It's like, never call a sailor a soldier either. So
exactly. I should have known that.
You as an army man should know all this stuff.
Well.
There you go.
Yeah.
So should we taste number two?
Yeah.
Mmm. Wow.
See, I like that too.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I like that quite a lot.
I think the flavor, it's more powerful than number one.
Yeah.
There's more of it.
Yeah. It's just. More of it, yeah. It's very, very similar, but it seems to be brighter. It seems to be just a more intense version of number one.
Mm. It may be a little more orangey than number one to me.
So instead of lemon, it goes more to orange?
Or tangerine.
Tangerine. Dun, 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 dun. Boy, I really like that a lot.
Yeah, but it's more of a tropical, fruity kind of...
Mm-hmm.
It's less like super, super clean, light citrus, and it's more of a deeper tropical aroma or tropical fruit flavor.
Yes.
I don't know. Does it go to mango? I don't know.
No, I don't get mango out of that, but... although there's a candy gram for mango...
That's Mongo.
Oh. Well, I keep getting these things mixed up. Candy gram for mango. This would really work well in a Belgian wit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a great hop for any of those kind of Belgian pails.
Yeah.
Be terrific in it. It just has a really nice flavor. I like that quite a bit. I'm not sure which one it is, but I'm going to definitely brew with it.
Yeah. It's a... Like I say, it's the number one is kind of lemony.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is more tangerine-y. Or it's not pure orange and it's not pure lemon. There's something in between. One of those citrus fruits that's kind of in between. It's not real tart.
Mm-mm.
So it's not a grapefruit.
No. What I like about both of these so far... Because we haven't got to number three yet, but so far, both of the beers, have just been very pleasant flavors. They're they're not challenging. You don't have to try to like them.
Yeah,
actually tastes really good.
Yeah, yeah. And the bitterness level, I like the bitterness level. It's not it's not too sharp. And I think the way that it was put into the hop stand, essentially, you know, there's not probably not a whole lot of alpha acids or isomerized alpha, you know, IBUs in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Right. Random hop number two.
This is Bravo. So, Bravo's high alpha content is largely attributable to its parent variety, Zeus. Mm. Its bittering quality is considered smooth and, in addition, features light floral aromas and subtle flavors of orange and stone fruit, making it highly desirable for use in many different ale styles.
Hmm. Stone fruit. Huh. That's more of kind of like a peach.
Mm-hmm.
What other stone fruits are there? Plum? Is a plum a stone fruit?
Yeah. Sure.
Apricot? Or, is it apricot or apricot? I'm asking you.
It depends. Which side of the Mason-Dixon line are you from?
I know how to pronounce pecan properly, but...
I'm an apricot guy.
Apricot? Okay.
Yeah.
And we just got done eating a piece of pecan pie for the video podcast. I made my first Cairo nut pie, which is just too darn easy.
That's just really, really good.
It's too darn easy to make. I'm kind of scared that I know how easy it is to make a fresh pecan pie now. Stone fruit. And what was the major descriptor for number one? Light citrus?
Light citrus, subtle herbaceous notes, perfect for sessionable beers, delicate and refined enough for quality lagers.
And that was lemon drop.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bravo was the stone fruit.
Stone fruit, smooth, light floral aromas, subtle flavors of orange and stone fruit.
Boy, number two is really good.
I really like number two a lot.
It's got kind of a candy character to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit sweet, even.
Yeah.
Or it brings out the sweetness in the malt, maybe would be a better way to say it.
Right, right. It's well-balanced beer as far as bitterness to sweetness. But there is a sweet character that comes off of that, and that is reminds me of a candy.
Super good.
Mm. Oh, and different from number one.
Yeah.
Number one is going more toward the lemon pledge kind of in a tasteful way, you know,
mm-hmm.
like when you smell lemon pledge from a distance. Scott Janisch today, I did an interview with him for the audio podcast, and one of the scriptors he threw out there was a fruit stripe gum. That's a good uh-huh. one to use sometimes. I don't know if we'll taste that today, but maybe I planted that in your head. Okay. Wow, we're at number three already.
Number three.
We're getting too good. We got to stretch for time. We got to... people get irritated when the podcast is too short.
Okay, how about those Cubs?
Ooh.
That's very different from the first two.
It is.
It's the most different. Maybe my least favorite.
I agree. There's kind of a... You said minty earlier. There's a mint.
Mm-hmm.
It's spearmint.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, there's a mint. And now this one does have a little bit of a astringent, a little bit like chewing on a mint leaf.
Yeah.
So you get the mintiness, and then you get this kind of bitterness at the end. If you've ever chewed on a mint leaf, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this comes across like.
That's wild.
Yeah. It doesn't taste bad, really, but compared to number one and especially number two, that one's very different.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you're making a julep or a... or what do you call it? A mojito.
Mojito.
This is the mojito of beers.
Yeah, it kind of is. That's really surprising. I do get some lemon out of it, though. But I really get more of a mint character.
And this is the one that is a little darker than the other two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the one that... Yeah, I agree.
So, three is a little darker. If it is, and it could be that I'm wrong, But I do know which one got the extra O2 at the end there. So yeah, very. It doesn't taste spoiled. It doesn't taste bad.
Mm-mm. That's very interesting. The other two are very bright and very easy on the palate. This one's a little bit more challenging,
mm-hmm.
but definitely splitting hairs here.
It's more resinous.
Yeah, it
than
is.
The other two.
It actually goes more to if you could envision drinking a beer with like Chinook, but no pine. It's more resinous, or centennial, but no pine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that.
Yeah. It's radically different. The other two are kind of cousins, the citrus cousins. This one is, it's way different. It's minty. There's a spearmint character happening. Which we tasted these when they were really cold. And these are in plastic cups, so they warmed up pretty quickly. When they were really cold, we couldn't tell much of a difference.
I couldn't tell any difference at all, frankly. I mean, I was like, are you... In fact, I even thought maybe you were spoofing me. And it just made one beer.
Which one day I might.
Yeah. Because I was like, I don't think these are the same beer.
It'd be easy to do. I'd just take three of the same batch, because I make six. Each 1 gallon batch makes six beers.
Yeah.
So I could easily do that. But,
Okay.
I think it's my least favorite. I think number two is my favorite. Maybe it's too early to say that. We haven't read the third descriptor.
Okay, let's go to Columbus.
All right.
That's right. Daring do.
Your answer is peat moss. What do you call moss that grows on the north side of peat?
They removed my glasses. Originally bred by Charles Chuck Zimmerman as part of a USDA breeding program sometime in the 1970s, Columbus is sometimes referred to as CTZ, Columbus Tomahawk and Zeus, though it is genetically distinct from Zeus hops.
Hmm.
It features a punchy hoppiness and deep, pensive aroma. You know what? I feature a deep, pensive aroma when I haven't had a shower for several days. And understated citrus notes. Well, that too. Perfect as a dual-use hop. Although I'm not perfect as a dual-use hop. Perfect as a dual-use hop. Commonly used late in the boil, and when fresh, Columbus has an herbal flavor with a lemon citrus back note. Usable in a number of styles, notably American-style ales.
So, read that last couple sentences again.
Okay, I'm going to start this paragraph. It features a punchy hoppiness and deep, pensive aroma with understated citrus notes. Perfect as a dual-use hop. Commonly used late in the boil and when fresh, Columbus has a herbal flavor with a lemon citrus back note. Usable in a number of styles, notably American-style ales.
Interesting.
So these are all citrus hops. We didn't really pick them. We kind of picked them because, well, what do we got left to do?
It's like, but, what's left in the case?
Yeah, what haven't we done? But it turns out that they're all very similar in their descriptions.
Yeah.
None of them are described, again, I keep going back to that pine thing, but none of them go back to the pine kind of flavor.
Right.
They all go to some form of citrus. And they do clearly do that. But we agree that the third one goes to a mint, an herb mint kind of thing. I think of it like mint sauce on lamb almost.
Mm-hmm.
Number two seems to be the brightest, freshest, and it goes to orange or tangerine. And number one seems to be more the most lemony of the three.
Okay. So I'm going to let you, since I have this knowledge, based on our tasting, I want to, I'll give you two chances. First, I'll let you, with your untainted opinion, leave your taint out of this, your untainted opinion, I want to see what you feel like each one of these are, and then I'm going to tell you which one was oxidized. And we're assuming that number three was the one that was oxidized, but we don't know. We don't know for sure. So I'm going to... this is unorthodox. This is different from anything that we've done before. So what would you say, not knowing which one was oxidized?
I'm going to go with number three as being the one that's oxidized.
Yeah, but which one would it be?
I'm going to say it's lemon drop. And because it is lemony, but it's lost. The herbaceous note thing kind of gets me. So there's an herbalness there, and if it's the oxidized, I might be just dead wrong, but if it's lost a little something, it's herbal, and I don't get a lot of lemon, but it does go to lemon. So I'm going to say that that's lemon drop.
Number three.
And then I'm going to say that, I don't know. I'm going to say that number one, pensive aroma. Lemon citrus. I'm going to say that number one is Columbus, number two is Bravo.
Okay.
Because number two is just, it just... really stands the orange and stone fruit. That's number two to me. Mm-hmm. It just really has that oranginess and that kind of, it just really, it's my favorite. And I really like, considered smooth, and this is the smoothest one. So I'm just kind of basing it on comparing to what's been said here. And then number one, if I'm calling that Columbus, you know, it's just, it does have kind of a lemon. It does go to citrus. It's very pleasant beer, but it doesn't have the punch of the orange Bravo that I think is number two. So that's what I think.
Number three. The one that we think is oxidized.
Yeah.
The one that it appeared oxidized to me, it appeared darker to me, was lemon drop.
Get out.
I thought that you were going to say that number three was Columbus because of the mint, all the talking of the mint in the descriptor. But you said it was lemon drop.
Because I felt like it had dropped, that if it was oxidized, it had dropped the really delicate. So I was like, okay, if you oxidized out, what would you lose first? What would you retain?
Mm. And knowing what I know, which is now what you know, I would pick what you did. Number one is Columbus because of the lemony thing. Number two, Bravo as the orange thing.
Yep.
And then number three, see, if I had not known, I would have picked number one as lemon drop because it is the lemoniest of all three.
Yes.
But no, I believe from my knowledge of the color that number three is lemon drop.
Well,
so you amazed me. If you're right, this is going to be very impressive. Okay, so here we go.
Well, let's pick number three.
Number three first, since okay. It's the one that we think is...
Well, I just assumed that number three was flawed.
Yeah.
That's what I went after.
Right.
And then from there, I felt like, okay, this is...
Oh, my God.
Lemon drop.
It's the lemon drop.
Lemon drop, very pretty.
And number one, which... we think is Columbus. Well, the glue is sticky this time. It's Columbus!
We did it!
Yay! Unveil.
Unveil.
Let it age properly in the pasture. Bravo! Bravo!
That's awesome!
Steve, I'm
that's
amazed.
Awesome.
That your reasoning on that, I've thought for sure that you were going to say number one was lemon drop because it's the most lemony.
Well,
But your logic is impeccable.
Well, this time. It wasn't last time.
No, we flunked last time.
But I figured, well, I've already told you what I figured.
Yeah.
Cool.
Dang, victory lap. That was amazing. Yeah. I thought for sure, I was going to say, all right, he's going to pick Columbus is number one, and then I'm going to tell him that Lemon Drop was the oxidized one, and then we're going to figure out which of the two. But you did no worries. You got it. You pegged it right away.
Huh. Peggy Sue. I do like number two the best.
I do too. And I'm really disappointed that the Lemon Drop got oxidized.
So what we ought to do, though, is include Lemon Drop in a future.
Mm.
So we ought to revisit Lemon Drop.
Give it a do-over.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yep.
And at some point, we may get to the point where we're doing best ofs.
Oh, I just had that same idea.
Yeah.
We should go back and revisit and go, okay, we really like this one. And even worst ofs. Because the truth of the matter is worst ofs aren't bad.
Right.
They're just in comparison at the moment. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's going on at stevesbrewshop.com? You got some seasonal recipes or seasonal kits that you're working on?
Oh, Lord, we're always doing something. I'm carrying Golden Promise now for base grain, which I'm kind of excited about. And so that's in stock, and I'm really excited about that. And Crisp Maris Otter from the Crisp Malting House. And I've got Veterans Day is coming up. So look for my Hump the Pig barley wine.
Is that the name of the pig?
No, that's the name of the beer. So the pig is an M60 machine gun.
Oh.
If you ever had to hump the pig, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I thought you were just talking about, unnamed counties to the east of here.
No, the pig weighs 20 pounds. You got to hump the pig, it weighs 20 pounds. So it's 20 pounds of grain in the barley wine.
Oh, my God.
And then the round for that is 7.62 millimeter NATO round. So there's 7.62 ounces of hops featuring Warrior, Green Bullet, and Liberty hops. And Independence yeast. So that'll be fun for Veterans Day.
Yeah, you got to
hump the pig barley wine.
That is a high concept beer.
Well, yeah, indeed. So look for that on the brew blog there, and I'm going to do a kit on it. But they'll post the recipe. I'm going to brew it this weekend. It'll be fun. And then I'm going to do a for December, the December kit actually that we'll have on sale is going to be my Noir or my Noël Noir. It's a black double. I say double. Say double.
You're not fancy.
I'm not fancy. But it's a black Belgian Trappist ale that is going to be flavored. So it's not truly true to style, but it's true to style up to the point that we flavor it with some tangerine and ancho chili.
Oh.
So that's going to be really a nice beer for Christmas time or into the winter. And so look for that. And then the November beer of the month will be my West Fork IPA. And that's just a nice British-style IPA that just goes to all those kind of toffee notes. And it's not a West Coast American IPA. It doesn't go to all the giant pine in your face. But, it's just a little bit more restrained, still plenty bitter. It's a real IPA, but it's a British-style IPA. Yeah. So. But a really nice beer for this time of year. So check that out, and it'll be hitting the website any day.
I had that, and it was good.
Yeah, good, thanks.
Well, congratulations. We went from all right to all wrong to back all right.
Yeah.
So the kids are all right. And we'll give Lemon Drop another chance at a later date.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, James.
Well, thanks again to Steve of stevesbrewshop.com. We'll be taking next week off for Thanksgiving. If you're in the U.S. and celebrating Thanksgiving, I hope you have a great time with your family and or friends. Don't forget to send us your brewing disaster stories to james@basicbrewing.com. If you have disaster stories, brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, send that all to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing.
That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help, Basic Brewing Radio, and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.